Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, August 18th, 2017. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It is going. I am glad to be here.
And I'm glad to have you here. Brian Chaffin, I'm also glad you are here. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. And you sound like you're a little peppier than yesterday.
Was I not peppy yesterday?
No. When I asked how you were doing, you're like, oh. Huh. And today you're all, hey, I'm here. So,
it's Friday.
So it is. It's also only a couple days before the solar eclipse.
Yes.
And in case it has,
make sure you register to watch it, folks.
Yeah, run by your school, fill out your permission slip to be able to watch the eclipse. I've already filled it out three times just to be safe.
Right. Did you pay the fee, Jeff, to be able to watch the eclipse?
Yes, but I borrowed the money from kids at the school.
Dave, you're not a nice person.
I know. I'm being bad. Can we talk about something where I might actually provide some value as opposed to being a bad person?
Yes, we can. But right before I let you do that, I want to tell everyone that iAmazing Mini is our sponsor today, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'll tell you why soon. But since Dave is champing at the bit, let's dive in to the what's clearly the most horrible news ever, and we are doomed. The secure enclave on the iPhone has been hacked.
So. Well, kind of. That's a true statement, but if we stopped there and said, you know, it's Miller time, have a good weekend.
Well, first we'd be disappointed because we're having Miller.
Well, there's that. But we would also perhaps lead people to believe something that's not necessarily true.
Well, then so, what is true?
Right. A hacker posted named Zirub. I'm going to say it Zirub. I have no idea how this hacker chooses to pronounce their handle. X-E-R-U-B. Zirub posted to GitHub the key that would decrypt the code base that is used in Apple's secure enclave. So what this means is the secure enclave is the thing on your watch series 2, the processor from the 5S and onward, iPads from like the Air onward, all of that stuff. It hides and handles things like Touch ID, password verifications, and health data, things like that, other security related processes. And the way that Apple has, one way that Apple has secured it is that not only does this secure enclave do its job to encrypt whatever data it is going to be stored, it in and of itself, the secure enclave is also then encrypted so that presumably, and Apple hasn't talked a whole lot about this, but presumably it's encrypted so that hackers, but also security researchers and anyone cannot go in and look at the way that it's doing the encryption and find any possible weakness that might be there.
Ah, okay.
And so what this key does is it allows that inspection to happen. And, you know, so it does not mean that suddenly all of our data on all of our phones is, you know, no longer protected. What it means is that people now outside of Apple get to see how it's protected. And I get why Apple would potentially make this decision to, you know, sort of keep that whole thing in a black box. But because if there is a hole in it, if there is a vulnerability in their code, you know, security by obscurity. If nobody knows that that hole is there, no one can exploit it. Now people are going to start digging through that code and will, if there is a hole there, could potentially exploit it. They also could report it privately to Apple so that Apple could fix it, et cetera, et cetera. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. Most security protocols are published so that we know to trust them. Because mm-hmm. when they are out in the open, we or people that we delegate our security researching to and trust can look through it and say, yeah, this is good stuff. Like, there's no holes. The NSA doesn't have a backdoor into this or whatever. You know, like, this is the code. Okay. I like the way it does it. I can't figure out a way to hack through it. You know, thumbs up. So, and Apple has done that, like, with their kernels, I think, since iOS 10, right? So that, again, it could be peer reviewed, for lack of a more efficient, accurate term. That's an efficient term. It might not be accurate, but I think it's close enough.
We'll go with it.
We'll go with it. So now, for better or for worse, I think for better, the SEP, the secure enclave, can now be peer reviewed. And that's, I think, a good thing. Hopefully there's not a hole in it.
Yeah, hopefully there's not. Apple fans tend to want to defend Apple's choices. It's kind of a thing that do.
It is, of course. Yeah. We defend lots of things about Apple. We like lots of things about Apple. Therefore, it's natural to defend them. Yes.
Yes. And I suspect there will be a bit of a, you know, this guy has no business doing this kind of thing. And certainly a compelling argument can be made that, you know, he's just a malicious hacker. He shouldn't be mucking about with Apple's efforts to keep our devices secure. But the reality is that he's not the only one doing this.
Right.
And there are people who would not release it to be peer reviewed. And he stated, by the way, that's the reason why he released it.
It wouldn't surprise me if this were a controlled leak. If someone from inside Apple said, this is bad that we're not letting this be peer reviewed.
That's not a controlled leak, though. Controlled leak is when the corporation decides to leak something because they want the information out. Well, this particular case, it would be like a whistleblower leak.
Yeah, whistleblower leak. Maybe it is a controlled leak thing.
No, Apple would just release it if they wanted to release it.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. Yeah, good point.
But the point is there are plenty of parties out there who might have been trying to do the same thing. I would be flabbergasted if there weren't plenty of other parties that are actually malicious parties that have been trying to do this exact same thing so that they can do anything from find and sell zero day exploits or just use them for their own government in particular. So I would say that the fact that this could be done, that it's a good thing that it was done and it was done by someone who was willing to release it.
Or perhaps better said, it's a good thing that it was finally done by someone who was willing to release it.
Because the
assumption is that this has already, if in fact this was not fueled by some kind of leak from within Apple, and it truly was able to be discerned from that which we external to Apple have, then I assume it has already been done. And the people that did it chose not to release it because they didn't want Apple to fix it.
You have to figure that the U.S. intelligence apparatus put significantly more resources into it than a guy.
Than a dude.
Or a
dudette. I mean, we have no idea.
That's true. That's true.
So dude is not gender neutral?
I think it actually, based on my experience with the theater folk this week, it has become very much gender neutral. But yeah.
Okay. But there's a bigger point here, because the same thing is true for the Chinese and the Russians.
Right. That's right. So, they all use dude. No, that's not what you were saying.
Sorry. And as well as criminal elements around the globe. So I support what happened here personally, like Dave.
All right. So I'm sure there are many people listening to the show right now that are saying, whoa, 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 set the Wayback Machine, because we have to go back and look at something Dave said, which is we're talking about software that's in the firmware, right? Code that's in the firmware. And this is for managing our encrypted data. If there's a flaw in there, how can Apple fix that? It's in the firmware.
Well, we see firmware updates all the time, mm-hmm. whether or not the firmware for the Secure Enclave processor can be updated. I don't know. I could see why Apple might not want that to be updatable. Right. Because now.
Yes, for sure. Right? There's all kinds of reasons you could want that.
And perhaps that is the case. And therefore that it then would support the line of reasoning that says, then let's keep it totally obscured so that because once it's out there, we can't change it. And let's keep people from poking around in there.
Well, that's one of the things that this this person said was that he found it alarming that Apple was trying to obfuscate the code.
Right.
And he's worried about what that might mean.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, apparently. Right.
Or Apple's going to find out. Again, a lot of these security researchers will report the details of their findings to the company that can fix it, i.e. Apple, first, and perhaps put them on a clock. Like, okay, I'm telling you about this, and in 30 days, I'm going to publish the same thing over there. So go fix it. And that's not a bad thing. And obviously, if the company's, paying attention and willing to work on it and come up with a solution, then it never gets published, or it does get published, but the update's out or whatever it is. So these people want it to be generally, and I can't speak about this person in particular, but this happens all the time and it's a good thing.
All right. Well, hopefully if there are any flaws found in the Secure Enclave firmware, they are things that Apple actually can't address. Because
hopefully. That
would just suck to find out that the iPhone that I have today and, could have next year, who knows, may not be as secure as I thought.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to watch this one closely because this could have a serious impact on how we choose to use our iPhones.
It could.
Doesn't necessarily mean yes. It will, but it could.
Yes. And it hasn't yet that we know of.
Right. Okay. So we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing Mini. And what makes iMazing Mini so great is that it's a killer tool for backing up your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch to your computer. So instead of relying on iCloud backup exclusively or iTunes to back up your device exclusively, you can use this alone or in combination with what iTunes is doing. It's up to you. You're a big kid. You can make your own choices. But the thing is, you can use this to create much more useful, potentially, backups than you're getting through iTunes or iCloud. Because instead of just having to essentially take a snapshot of your device, you can get these incremental backups so that you can easily roll backwards in time to a specific day if you want. And you can take control over how your backups happen, when your backups happen. And then you can go in and restore the stuff that you need when you need it. And I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to mention it again. If you are running iOS beta, developer or public, this is practically an invaluable tool because you can get a snapshot of your iPhone or iPad and then install the beta. And if you decide you don't like what the beta is doing on your device, no problem. Roll back to that state from before your upgrade to the beta, and you're back in business. You're up and running, and it's easy to do. It's easy to use, and it is free. Not like free as in try it for a little while and then buy it, but free as in the iMazing people just love you and want you to be able to back up your iOS devices, so they're giving it away. So head over to the iMazing website. That's iMazing.com/mini, iMazing.com/mini, and get your copy of iMazing Mini on your computer and start backing up your iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch in a way that you are going to be much happier with. And thank you to iMazing Mini for being our sponsor this week. All right. Brian, you noted yesterday that Apple is investing $1 billion in programming for Apple Music. And that seems like a pretty big investment and a pretty serious commitment. Am I reading that right?
Well, it is, by all objective measurements, a serious investment, right? When companies put $1 billion into something, they're usually probably pretty serious about it. It doesn't actually stack up to, it wouldn't even put Apple in the top five for other big content, the original content companies. But at the same time, it does represent a significant first year commitment. For instance, like Amazon, I think, is projected, this is the numbers that CNBC had put together a year ago. Amazon said that Amazon's supposed to put $3.2 billion into original content for the 2016-2017 season. And but at the same time, when they started off in 2013, when they first started developing their own original content, they had roughly $1 billion that they put into it. So, I mean, like, you know, I think that what you can't do is say, you know what, I'm going to make original content. Here's $8 billion. I'm going to spend it.
I'm sure it would be very easy to spend $8 billion.
I think it would actually be pretty hard to spend all that money at one point. You have to develop your people, right? What, who'd you cover that Apple hired? What's that fellow's name?
I just forgot his name. But
it's Matt Chernus.
Yes, and he's the guy from Fox America. WGN America.
Sure. Let's go with that. WGN America.
WGN America.
Right. So anyway, you have to find these people, right? You've got to hire them. Talent isn't just lying out there, and these people have jobs. They may or may not want to come to Apple. You've got to find the people that you want, the people that are going to that have the same kind of vision that you've got, and that hiring takes money, and then those people have to work with the studios that are out there that are making the producers who were making the original shows. You know, things have to be pitched and talked over and worked on. And the point is that it takes time to do all this stuff. Apple could obviously put more money than everybody else in original content if they wanted. Mm-hmm. But there's a reasonable pace that actually makes sense to do it at, and I think what Apple's showing us here is that they're very serious about original content, but they're certainly going to go about it in a way that's not just, you know, making it rain Hollywood.
Yeah. And you know what, Brian, when I said it would be very easy for Apple just to spend $8 billion, it's because I'm assuming that there are a lot of people in Hollywood that would line up and be more than happy to just start taking that money without giving Apple a serious return on that investment.
Yeah. You know, I've been talking for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now about how we're in this golden age of TV. Mm-hmm. And how we've never had as much quality original programming as we have access to right now. And it's only increased since then. And, you know, there's a certain, some of that is because little niche products that shows projects that could never have been made 10 years ago, certainly never been made back when we had three networks, right? Mm-hmm. There's niche projects that can get developed. But you know, at the same time, there's also a certain dilution of talent with so many different avenues for people to do this stuff. It really does take time to start this. You know, Netflix didn't just one day have 15 original shows, for instance. You know, and neither did any cable channel that does original programming. Right? It just takes time. Takes time, yeah, but Apple's showing that it's serious.
I wonder if there's tangentially, is there a crest to that peak? Like, does it just keep going up because we have the ability to, you know, publish an unlimited number of episodes simultaneously or shows simultaneously?
Are you talking about about the golden age?
The golden age. Yeah.
No, it will. It'll peak and decline and be awful again.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, I look at podcasting or anything that websites, right? Doesn't matter, that can be published on the internet, just because there's infinite amounts or the ability for infinite amounts of crap to be published doesn't mean that the good stuff won't also still be there, but it might still be the same number of good shows, and therefore the percentage of good shows goes down and down and down. But, you know, will those still rise to the top? And it, of course, then begs all of the questions about, okay, at what point do we start whining about having a discovery problem with TV shows? All of that stuff.
At the very least, we're going to have peak golden age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that is an absolute.
Yeah, right now I can have a conversation and in my head almost keep all of the shows that everyone wants to watch and that are out there. Not everybody wants to watch, but all the shows that are out there, I can understand that group. Mm-hmm. But if that group grows to twice its current size, I cannot.
That is true. And I think that the real issue that we're going to have in terms of this peak golden age is going to be the fact that we're going to have more and more siloization of that content. So, you know, like there's going to be a maximum number of services that you'll subscribe to.
Right. Oh, well, that's a whole different conversation. That's right. Yeah. This is, I'm even concerned about it just from the standpoint of, you know, it's all available through whatever one service I have. But of course, that's not the future path that we are currently heading down.
Nope.
Nope. And that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. That's a whole nother episode of TDO right there.
You got it.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. And I do have to say, though, that with the powerhouse people that Apple's been bringing on for original content programming, mm-hmm. I'm very optimistic about how that $1 billion is going to be spent.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
And thank you to iMazing Mini for being our sponsor all week long. Go pick up your copy. It is free, and that's how it's going to stay. iMazingMini.com. No, iMazing.com/mini. I know I had all the right letters, just not the right order. iMazing.com/mini. Get your copy of iMazing Mini so you can back up your iPhone and iPad and iPod Touch. Listeners, thank you for being here, and be safe when you watch the eclipse Monday. I don't want any of you coming back blind. We'll see everyone again next week.